A place of worship would mark the opening with a prayer meeting. I have no doubt that they would rather present something that was more appealing to the people, something that would entertain them for a season. Not so Solomon. The temple was dedicated and consecrated to the worship of God and to the praying of the people of God to the Lord, and it was marked by a season of prayer. As Solomon prays with the congregation, and as he does so, I notice his awareness in prayer. His awareness of what? Solomon was aware that indeed that's what he was doing. He was aware that he was praying. You may think that that is a rather foolish statement, but I can assure you it is not. Because Solomon, as he came before God, he was very much aware that he was in the presence of God and that he was praying and he was communing with the God of Israel. Sometimes when people pray, they may not be aware or conscious of the fact that that's what they're doing. Instead, as children are taught to say their prayers, sometimes adults say prayers. But Solomon was aware of the fact that he was communing with and speaking to the Lord God of Israel. I say that Solomon was aware that he was praying to the Lord God of Israel, because I note that in this prayer that is found here in the 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles, that Solomon mentions or makes reference to prayer no less than 23 times. Verse 19, "Have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken on to the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee." And again, verse 20, "that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken on to the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place." Verse 21, "Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant." And we see here that Solomon is praying about prayer, and he's praying concerning prayer, and he's praying that God would answer his prayers. And he's praying about the prayers of God's people. He's asking God to answer the prayers of the congregations that would meet there. Solomon is praying in his prayers. There is no doubt that Solomon is taken up with concentrating his thoughts and his words on this matter of prayer. He was praying about prayer, for prayer, and that prayer would be answered under a variety of circumstances. And he goes through the different circumstances that he felt that he and Israel would find themselves in at some time in the future. He also gives attention to what we might call the art of prayer. He knew that praying was more than merely saying prayers. Look at how he describes prayer, and he does so in a variety of ways. There in verse 19, have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. Prayer and supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry. Prayer, supplication, crying. Then he mentions about calling upon the Lord. Verse 33, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for. Prayer and supplication, crying, calling unto God. These are all different aspects of the great matter of prayer. And then I notice something else. Solomon's great assurance in prayer. Again and again, Solomon called upon the Lord to hear. O Lord, hear. Then he says, hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant. Then again, hear thou from heaven. O Lord, hear my prayers. O Lord, hear my supplications. O Lord, hear my cry. And when the strangers or the Gentiles come into this place and they pray, Lord, hear them when they call unto thee. Here's Solomon's great assurance. That is, Solomon was assured that the God he prayed to and would pray to would hear his prayers. The God Solomon worshipped was not a God of man's imagination or a God of man's hands or a God of man's handiwork. But this was the living God. This was the God who inhabited eternity. This was the God of whom Solomon said the heavens and the heaven of heavens could not contain him. And Solomon knew when he came into the temple that day, the dedication of the temple, he knew that he was coming to the God who would hear his crying and his praying and his supplication and his calling. When we pray, we may do so with that same assurance. Oh yes, I know when we pray and we don't see the answer, we wonder, has God heard? God has heard, all right. God has heard our prayers, and those prayers that we brought before him this afternoon, God has heard them already. We just have to wait for the answers. Then I notice his adoration in prayer. His adoration. How he addressed God in prayer. Verse 14. Solomon begins to pray. Notice how he begins, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Here is Solomon. Notice how in prayer he adores God. Notice how he addresses the Lord God of Israel. Something we have touched on in our series on Christian worship. And I've been listening of late to Mr. Cairns' tapes on the Lord's Prayer. And I was encouraged that some of the things we said in our course of our series of messages about how we are to address God, how we are to behave ourselves in God's presence. Our brother Karen said the same things. And here Solomon comes and he says, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Oh, that we could this great truth in our hearts and in our minds and in our thoughts, and we come to pray, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. And when we pray, what comfort this gives us, what encouragement this is to our souls to know that we're praying to a God who is the God of Israel, and there is no God like our God, neither in heaven or in earth, as Solomon said. And notice, he's the God that keepeth covenant. In other words, he's the God, when he makes a promise, he doesn't break the promise, he fulfills. He's the God that keepeth covenant. He's the God who fulfilled his promise to David. He is the God that showeth mercy. When we come before the Lord, we come to a merciful God. We're not coming to a God who sits in the heavens and frowns down upon us. We come to the great God of Israel. We come to one who showeth mercy. A loving God. A caring God. A God who wants to bless his people. A God who wants to fulfill the promises that he has made and given to his people. And then we notice Solomon and the altar and prayer. It's very significant where Solomon came before the Lord to pray. Verse 12, and he stood before the altar. Now you will notice what kind of an altar this was. Verse 13 tells us that it was a brazen altar. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. So this was a brazen altar. First of all, this was the altar of sacrifice. 1 Kings 8, verse 5. You can read there about the sacrifices that Solomon made and offered to the Lord upon this great altar. Sheep and bullocks without number upon this brazen altar. So when Solomon was going to seek God in prayer, he came and stood before the altar. He came to the place of sacrifice. Of course, the brazen altar speaks to us of Calvary. Once again, dear child of God, when we pray as it were before the altar. We pray before the cross. Because as we know it is on the ground and through the virtue of the finished work of Christ and the blood of Christ that our prayers are heard in heaven. Isn't this again, a wonderful book, when we have this little detail of Solomon standing before the altar and how it points the way to the cross. And how when we pray, our prayers are heard in heaven because of the altar of Calvary where the Lamb of God was sacrificed. You notice that it was the place of sacrifice and it was the place where Solomon stood. He stood before the altar and then he knelt upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel. And it was there before the altar where the blood of the sacrifice was shed. Does this speak to us of? Again, the only way that we can approach to God is by the blood sprinkled way. Solomon drew near to God through the blood of the sacrifice. And when we come to the place of prayer, we, like Solomon, we stand upon redemption ground. We stand in that place where the blood has been shed. And that is why when we come to seek the face of God, we come to one who is our friend and we speak with him as friend speaketh with friend. And we come to him accepted in Christ, accepted on the ground of the shed blood. We come with boldness, having therefore boldness to enter in. We're able to enter in through the rent veil, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And I notice that through this prayer of Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, that it was very much in Solomon's mind that the temple would be known as a place of prayer. We can see now why the Lord spoke the words that he did speak when he purged the temple. My house is a house of prayer. And here is the same temple, and Solomon has built it. And at the dedication of the temple, he holds a prayer meeting. And he goes on to pray that every prayer that would be offered to the Lord within the precincts of the temple, Solomon prays, Lord, answer these prayers. And whenever God's people are away from the temple, if they look towards Jerusalem where the temple was situated, Solomon says, will thou not answer their prayers? You see how the temple at Jerusalem was very much considered the house of prayer. Above everything else, it was considered the house of prayer. The Lord said, my house is a house of prayer. And this is what Solomon was praying about. He began to pray, first of all, about the building. He prayed for the building. Verse 18. And again, as you look and read through this prayer, Solomon again and again mentions this house or this place. And it's always in connection with prayer. Oh, that this place, oh, that this house on the Toronto Road will always be associated with prayer. It will be a house of prayer. Verse 18, but will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? You know, when I read those words, I underlined them. Solomon has been talking about the greatness of God. And then he asked the question, is it possible for God, who cannot be contained in the heaven or the heavens of heavens, is it possible that this great God will come and dwell with man? And I thought of Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God dwells with us in Jesus Christ. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? What was the burden of Solomon's heart as he prayed this prayer? He was praying for the presence of God in the house that he had built. He wanted the God who inhabited eternity. He wanted God to dwell with men. He wanted all who would come into this house that he had built to know that God's presence was there. That's what he was praying for concerning the building. He was praying for God's presence. Let us pray to that end. Let us pray that God will make known his presence to one and all who come into this place. The people who come to worship with us here, they'll know that God's presence is here. Because the day that God withdraws his presence, the day that the Lord's presence is not known here, we might as well close the doors and put in bold capitals above the door, Ichabod, the glory hath departed. May that day never come. May God's presence be here perpetually. That's what Solomon was praying for with regard to the house, to the temple. He wanted God's presence there. Above all else, he wanted the Lord's presence there. He prayed for something else. Prayed for the Lord's preservation. Again in verse 20, or we might read verse 19, have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant, to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night. We go away for a couple of weeks for a holiday. You may say to the neighbor, would you keep an eye on the house? Just keep an eye on the house until we return. Here Solomon is praying to the God of heaven, Lord, keep thine eyes upon this house. Lord, preserve this house. Lord, watch over this house. May that be our prayer. May we pray that God's eyes will ever be on this house. God will preserve not just the house, but the work. The eyes of the Lord God of Israel will always be on this place. And once again, when God's eyes are upon a given work, then you know you have the blessing of God in that work. It's when God turns away his eyes, turns his back on the work, when the work's finished. We have his prayer and the building. Then we have his prayer and the backslider. We read in verse 24. Again, it's always in connection with the house, with the temple. Verse 24, and if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house. You see, Solomon's praying, Lord, if the backslider comes into this house, if that one who has sinned against thee, if that individual has sinned against thee and they have been chastened, that's what the Lord, or what Solomon was speaking about, if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, if the enemy has conquered them, if the enemy has overtaken them, if the enemy has taken them into captivity, if the enemy has afflicted them because they have sinned against thee. In other words, Solomon was saying, if thy people have been chastened, if thy chastened people were to come to this house and pray, Lord, will thou answer their prayers? Will thou restore the backslider? If they come to thy house and they pray and make supplication, and if they confess their sin, Lord, will thou hear their prayers in this house? Isn't that what we have been praying for? That backsliders would be found in this house. Those who have fallen into the hands of the enemy. We've been praying that they would come to this house. Those that have been chastened. We've been praying that God bring them in. They might hear the word and be touched in their hearts and confess their sin. Solomon was praying, Lord, restore backsliders in this house. Let us pray to the same end. Lord, restore backsliders in this house. May this be a place where backsliders will be restored to the Lord. We have his prayer in the building, his prayer in the backslider, and then his prayer and the barrenness. Solomon speaks about a time of great barrenness. Verse 26, when the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, Yet, if they pray toward this place, see again, it's talking about the house of God. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants. Solomon says, Lord, if thou dost shut up heaven, if there be no rain, because thy people have sinned, Lord, if they come to this house, if they come to this temple and they pray, Lord, will thou not answer their prayers? What was Solomon praying about? He was praying, first of all, about a silent heaven. If thou shut up heaven, there's a silent heaven. The day in which we live, we have a silent heaven. Heaven has been shut up. We're waiting for the rain. We're waiting for the showers of blessing. But the heavens have been shut. We've prayed, we've cried, supplicated, called. But heaven has been silent. Solomon says, Lord, if thy people, when there's a silent heaven, if they look toward this place, if they come to this place, Lord, will thou not then open the heavens? Dear child of God, at this time of a silent heaven, when we will come and have come today and will come this week to pray, let us pray with Solomon, Lord, as we meet in this place, will thou not open heaven for us? So all we need is for God to open heaven. He speaks about a silent heaven. He speaks about a stricken land. Verse 28, and if there be dearth in the land, and if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever disease there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven. We have three things here. We have a silent heaven, we have a stricken land, and we have a sickly people. Verse 28 at the end of the verse. And whatsoever sickness there be, silent heaven, stricken land, sickly people, that's what we have today. A silent heaven, no revival, no revival. We have a stricken land, a stricken land. We have a sickly people. Oh, how we need revival. How we need God to open the heavens. How we need God to come and cause the desert to blossom as the rose. How we need God to cure our sickness, to revive us again. That's what Solomon was praying about. Lord, if thy people come and look toward this place and enter this place and pray, will thou not hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive that my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and pray. God says, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. See, there's the answer. The Lord says if we pray, He will hear. No longer will heaven be silent. And I will forgive their sins. No longer will we have a sickly people. And I will heal their land. No longer will we have a stricken land. We need God to answer prayer. And Solomon is praying to this end. When you think of it, silent heaven, a stricken land, a sickly people, what is the answer? Prayer is the answer to all of these things. Prayer is the answer for the backslider. Prayer is the answer to barrenness. And then Solomon mentions something else. Verse 34. If thy people go out to war, here we have prayer and the battles of the people of God. If thy people go out to war, against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them. In other words, when we are walking in the way of the Lord, we shall have our battles. We'll have our battles, as the moderator often reminds us, beware. Beware when all men speak well of thee. And so when we are walking in the ways of the Lord and seeking to stand up for the Lord, we shall have our battles. And if thy people go out to war, there's the conflict. What's the answer again? Prayer. Always comes back to the same thing. Prayer is the answer. Because Solomon says, if thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. That's what we need to pray for, that God would maintain our cause. As the psalmist said, and that verse has been in our minds of late, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And we look on all around us and the foundations are being destroyed. What shall the righteous do? Solomon tells us the righteous shall pray. We need to pray that God will maintain our cause. Our cause. And there is a cause. As David said to us, bickering brothers, when he went to the battlefield, saw Goliath stand there laughing and scorning the armies of Israel, David said, is there not a cause? And in this day of apostasy, there is still a cause. The cause is the kingdom of Christ. The cause is the sacrifice of Christ. The cause is the righteousness of God. The cause, there is a cause today. And when men who once stood for the Lord years ago since have succumbed and surrendered and compromised, we need to pray God will maintain our cause. We need to pray that God will keep us true and faithful. And whether our numbers are few or many, above all else, may we maintain the cause with God's help and remain faithful and true to the Lord. And then finally we have prayer and the blessing. There's much more, of course, in this prayer of Solomon. Too much for us to cover tonight, but we see at the end of Solomon's prayer, the Lord opened the windows. The Lord answered his prayers. And I pray God will answer our prayers as he answered Solomon's prayers. For verse 1 of chapter 7, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. There's too much strange fire being offered up today. It's heavenly fire we need. It's the fire that comes down from heaven that is needed today. There are too many sons of Aaron today offering up strange fire. We need to pray that God will send the fire from heaven. That was heaven's response to Solomon's prayers. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. We want God's house to be filled with God's glory. God's glory. This was something that Moses longed to see. His prayer was, Lord, show me thy glory. And really, this is what Solomon was praying for. With all his praying and his supplicating and his crying and his calling and asking God to hear from heaven, his dwelling place, to answer prayer, he was really praying, Lord, send us a day in which thou wilt show us thy glory. Oh, dear Christian, we need to pray to this end that God would send us a day in which he will reveal to us his glory. The response to Solomon's praying, you have the retirement of the priests. Look at verse 2. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. But that tells us that this was not the work of man. The priest had no part in it. They had to stand aside. And in revival, man stands aside. And God receives all the glory. God received all the glory the day that the Lord answered Solomon's prayers. In verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves. This is what we've been preaching about and praying for. There was reverence. And where men today have no thought of God, and then there's no fear of God before their eyes, when revival comes, there will be the fear of God before men's eyes, and they who know the Lord, they will reverence the Lord. They will bow themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshipped. And they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God grant it. That would be the case here. And may the Lord look upon this house and this house of prayer. And may the heavens that are now silent one day and one day soon respond May the showers of blessing fall. May the glory of the Lord fill this house.